Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's a burgundy and gold game day. Commanders Bengals tonight from Cincinnati, Ohio. Burgundy and gold game day presented by Rude. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rude and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit Rude.com. And remember,
if it ain't Rude, it ain't right.
Joining us right now on the BetQL guest line is Mr. Tim McGee. First rounder, played 8 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals and then capped it off with 1 season in Washington. Former Tennessee Volunteer. Tim, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Man, nothing going on, man. I appreciate you guys having me. Just enjoying this beautiful day in the Midwest. It's going to be a great night for football. It's going to be an absolutely fabulous night as far as weather is concerned. So I guess there'll be no excuses.
No excuses, but you finally got Higgins back. How is it, Tim, when a guy's out for a while, receiver, when you first get back? Is the timing off or anything like that?
Yeah, yes and no. It is from a standpoint that there are, and you know this, Mitch, there are no training camps. So there are no such thing as chemistry anymore, in my opinion, because you basically just start the season off and you just go play. There's not a lot of practice time. They don't hit in practice time. There's so many things they don't do versus to what they used to do back in the past. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as it was, per se, 10, 15 years ago. These guys just show up, run the same routes, and they got a great quarterback. So, you know, the quarterback gonna put the ball between the numbers, and if the receiver is healthy enough, they'll go on and do their thing.
Talking with Tim McGee here, played 8 years for the Bengals, played another season in Washington, 28 career touchdown catches in the league. You mentioned Burrow there, Tim. What do you think of him as a guy that played this game at a really high level for a long time? And, you know, you played with some good quarterbacks, but Burrow seems to be a special player.
Man, I think you hit the word right on the head. They're special. There are just not many Joe Burrow that come around. I mean, he's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime franchise quarterback for the Bengals. I mean, we had some great ones in Boomer Esiason and Kenny Anderson and so on and so forth. But Joe just one of those guys, man, that he just has it all. And I'm talking, when I say all, I'm not just talking about the physical attributes of throwing the ball long, deep, short, nice touch on the ball, commanding the offense, but I mean, this guy, he has swag with all that. So he's complete. There's just, you know, even from a critic standpoint, you just can't say anything about Joe Burrow that he doesn't have a weakness in his game. And when I say that on what he can control when the offensive line is giving up, you know, 8 sacks in some games. So, you know, they struggle in that regard in protecting him. But as far as his individual skill set, on and off the court, I mean, trust me, man, he has done so much on the field and off the field for this community that it's just been kind of a heaven-sent thing for us.
When you flip it to the other side, the defense, and Washington loves running the football, Brian Robinson Jr. and also Austin Eckler has been running the ball effectively. How's the defensive line of Cincinnati?
Struggling. Number one, it's not the most talented group. You got Trey Hendrickson that comes around. He's an edge pass rusher, just very, very dominant, one of the best in the games. But other than that, there's not a lot of names. There's not a lot of high-value guys. There's not a lot of guys that you would think will be starting on other teams. But, you know, they get after it, and I think they make up for it. They make up for it definitely from the defensive coordinator, Lou Anaroma. I mean, that guy is, man, he just – you know, he takes something and makes a complete masterpiece out of it, and they play well together. But, again, they're just not very talented on that defensive line, and they're hurt. So that's, you know, that's why people have had success running against them.
It is remarkable what Anaromo has done with that defense for years and with a lot of different moving parts. Hendrickson, though, we talked about him a little earlier, is a monster, and he kind of doesn't get that national recognition in a lot of ways. How much of an impact do you think he could make going up against a rookie quarterback on the other side in Jaden Daniels?
You know, if the Bengals outside of Trey, they don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, but they play very, very solid. So anytime you can add another dimension from a pressure, even a sack standpoint, I mean, that's just going to make the second and third level a little bit more relaxed and play a lot better. Again, what we don't have here, they make up in as far as individual talent, they make up as in team concept and team understanding and team execution. They're just a defense that, man, I'm telling you, you guys obviously hadn't seen it, but when Lou first got here, Zach Taylor, I just personally thought they wouldn't last 2 years. I mean, the defense was terrible, the offense was even worse, and they were competing to see who could be the worst. But they went and got the talent that they needed for their systems, and that is so doggone important in the National Football League. You get judged by who you're coaching, regardless if they're bad talent or not bad talent. And what Coach Lou has done, he's taken in my opinion, the above average and the average, and he's made them a lot better. And like I said, if they could get another D lineman to stand up and balance that defense and put pressure either up the middle, because you know Trey's coming from the outside, if they could get that other element, I'm pretty sure the guys on the second and third level, they will be taking them to dinner after the game going, thank you that we didn't have to cover so long.
I bet. Talking with Tim McGee here, played 8 seasons for the Bengals and 1 season in Washington. What did you, in your career, I mean, you were so established in Cincy, you come to D.C. for the 1 season, I think. Was that Pettibone's year coaching?
Very unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was a tough season.
that was an absolutely disaster. And, it just wasn't a very good experience for me personally, and it wasn't a good experience for the other people. But, we tried to scrap it, but they were coming off of our Super Bowl champion, and Joe Gibbs had retired, and, a lot of the veteran talent was getting to a point where they were thinking about calling it quits and things of that nature. So we struggled. There was no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's crazy is you guys opened the year with that big win over the Cowboys. And I remember, I think it was Monday night. Yeah. I think it was Monday night.
I did zone a few times.
Did you? I'll look up the box score. But that year, I always find this interesting, was the double bye week season. Did you guys like that? Was it odd?
I don't even remember it being a double bye week. Yeah. we practiced so damn hard. Tell you, Tim, we practiced so damn hard back in those days.
Hey, if you asked, was it a double bye week? Trust me, we were homecoming for a lot of teams.
I like it.
And of all years, that was probably the roughest year for me. That year could not have gotten over faster. And then, like you said, from an individual standpoint, I just remember, and I tell this story all the time, Brian, that I remember one day you came up to me in the locker room. I was coming out the door, and you said, man, they scared of you. And, I lit off some profanities of, my experience, because when I came there, I was supposed to be coming there as the third guy. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to play the slot. I was supposed to, fill in the blank between Ricky Sanders and Art Monk. In the very first day of minicamp, they put me in front of Art Monk, and I knew I was doomed from a fan standpoint. You got one of the all-time, if not the all-time legends, and you just brought this guy from Cincinnati they didn't even tell me that. And I was so bitter that whole season. I was just like, I'm getting the hell out of here. And trust me, I did. I came back home to Cincinnati where I was on the good side of politics.
that's fascinating, because I guess Gary had signed with the Cardinals then. Was that Gary's first?
Yeah.
Wow.
And to add to that story, I was actually in Arizona thinking I was signing with them. They signed Gary. I fly directly from Arizona to Washington to fill that void. And I mean, I was a pure butthole when I was there. I mean, I absolutely. I love the players, but the management and the head coach just wasn't my favorite, because again, I'm one of those.
Well said there. that 93 week 1 Monday Night Football big Redskins win. Listen to this box score. First score, touchdown from Troy Aikman to Alvin Harper, 80-yard touchdown pass.
Yep.
Then second quarter, all Redskins. Mark Rippon to Ricky Sanders, 15-yard touchdown. Chip Lowmiller makes the kick. Brian Mitchell, 1-yard rushing touchdown. Chip Lowmiller makes the kick. 14-6, Washington. Mark Rippon to Ron Middleton, 1-yard touchdown pass. Chip makes the kick, 21-6. In the third quarter now, Alvin Harper catches another one from Troy, 32-yarder. And then Art Monk catches one from Rip, 28-13. Fourth quarter, Cowboys get a field goal, 28-16. Then Brian Mitchell, 29-yard rushing touchdown to seal it, 35-16. A lot of names right there, man. And that year, I mean, this is weird to me.
You know, hey, that it was kind of weird because I started that game. Remember that?
But hey, B.
And then they completely moved me off of running back.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. The craziest part of that year, you had no idea who was starting, playing, or even putting on a uniform. One time I had a 100-yard game and didn't even suit up the next week. I was like, what just happened here?
Yeah. Did you ever get answers? I mean, obviously, Tim, you went back to Cincy, but B.
Well, it was told that Jack said he wanted to see Reggie Brooks, the guy from Notre Dame that they had drafted.
And that's that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They did that, and like I said, they started me. And, again, I went in with the mindset of here's what I'm going to do. But I understood because I was being paid a lot of money. But the part I did not – where I really got kind of upset was they wasn't just doing it to me. They were doing it to pretty much everybody. Rick Sanders would sit 1 week, and then Art would – you know, then they came to me and said, oh, here's what we're going to do. We're going to – Art's going to start, and once he catches his ball because he had that streak going, and yep. Then you're going to go in the game. Well, hell, what if Art catches the ball with 2 minutes to go in the game? That meant I've just been –
That is weird, dude. I mean, just
hey, I'm from the hood of Cleveland. I can't prepare mentally for that.
I mean, from a running back standpoint, I didn't realize Biner was still on the team.
Yeah,
and they drafted Reggie Brooks, you, Ricky Irvins, and Biner. All four of you guys. I mean, why would you phase out Biner? And Ricky.
That was the running back position. And like I told you, you didn't know who was going to start, play, or even dress. And the receiver, you had Tim McGee, and Desmond Howard.
That's crazy.
It was one of those, but, you know, poor Des, I just felt terrible for him because, you know, he was more of a returner than he was a wide receiver. So, him being from Cleveland and all that, and seeing it, you know, seeing him practice and him play, I just was like, oh man, this guy's going to struggle a little bit here.
Did you know right away?
Resilient. Yeah, he was very resilient in coming back and going to Green Bay and having a great career as a punt returner. And probably, you know, once Dez got the ball in his hand, that's when he was special.
Right. God, that was a fun little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, we did some weird stuff.
Yeah, clearly.
A lot of time, fans, you don't know what's going on, but
we
do.
Sure. Tim, back to tonight's game. Bengals are 0-2, but that's still a hell of a lot of talent over there. How do you think Washington can pull off the upset tonight?
Well, the Bengals have been very, very inconsistent, and that's no secret. They play good at times. They went through this where you hear coaches say that, you know, don't have your level of play based on the talent that you're facing. And they played against the New England team that they probably, of course, on paper should have absolutely destroyed, but you know, they played down to that level and they played New England style football, and smash mouth football is not the way the Bengals are built. The Bengals are built on the offensive side. They're built to outscore you. And you know, they got themselves in a pickle by trying to be something that they just are not. And if Washington can get themselves in the same situation where they get the Bengals to play smash mouth offense, defense, offensive line, displace the line of scrimmage, defense, control the line of scrimmage. If you get the Bengals in that, you know, you stand not just a good chance, but a greater chance of winning. Secondly, and probably the problem Washington have, T. Higgins coming back. So now you got to get back to that. You're going to maybe have to outscore them. You know, you got the full arsenal and the three-head monster here with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. And let's just face it, Ja'Marr Chase is very frustrated right now. He's not getting his numbers both on the field, and he's not getting his money back off the field. So, you know, they're going to be looking for some redemption, and 0-3 is what they cannot start. They can't start this season off 0-3.
Yeah.
So if Washington runs the ball effectively, time off the clock, get touchdown, that kind of make Cincinnati have to come back, try to score quickly. You make them more one-dimensional, so they would have to try and run the ball effectively and have that what's called time of possession game, you think?
And that's why I brought up New England, because that's exactly what New England did. New England made them play New England style of football, which was run the ball, control the clock, keep Joe Burrow on the sideline. We've heard that before so many, 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 many times in covering the NFL, college, or even high school. It's easier said than done, but if you keep Joe Burrow's snaps limited, you stand a very, very good chance. And if you keep them in, and if Washington just controls the line of scrimmage on first and second down and put the Bengals in obvious passing down and pin their ears back and come after Joe, the offensive line here in Cincinnati is, you know, I think they're solid, but they, you know, they've given up a lot of pressures and a lot of sacks.
All right.
Tim, you've laid out the case that Washington can win if they follow kind of that a formula, but what do you actually think happens tonight? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be a tough game. I think since the Bengals are still trying to find their identity this particular year, they just don't seem – it's something – and I talk about this even on our show. It's just something missing, and I can't put my finger on it. So that's why I think Washington has a fighter's chance to come in here and create an upset. Now, if both teams play to their max potential – I think the Bengals will definitely, you know, have a solid performance and win. But the Bengals have turned the ball over on special teams. They've turned it on fumbles. They turned it over on interceptions. So, and they're not getting a lot back in return. So I just think until they find their identity of who they are, I think any team that comes in here stands a chance. And Washington is a very talented team, and I think underrated and underappreciated.
All right. Folks, you're going to like to hear that, man. All right, Tim, appreciate it. Will you be at the game tonight?
Oh, Lord, no. No.
Do you live in Cincy or in Cleveland?
I live in Cincinnati and Fort Lauderdale, but I'm here most of the time, and I'm here in Cincinnati for the game, but I don't be dealing with them crazy people going downtown.
On my way over here to JP's hotel, I kind of drove through a little area. The Uber driver was telling me the history of that area. I was like, okay. I got you.
Yeah. You know, you go to the game, enjoy it, then you roll the dice and think you're going to make it home. And if you make it home, you've gotten two wins if the Bengals win.
Great. I'll be getting out of there about 1 a.m. Sounds terrific. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for
your
time.
Appreciate
you,
brother.
That was a lot of fun.
Always, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. Thanks, Tim.
Tim McGee, 8 seasons with the Bengals, 1 apparently pretty awful season in Washington. Nobody go anywhere. We're going to keep it going. TJ Houshmandzadeh joins the program next.
Flashing lights.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All our football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Over under 6 weeks until B-Mitch gets the new iPhone 16 Pro.
As long as they keep that AI stuff away from it, then I might get one. That's all. They have the capabilities now, and I don't want nothing to be affecting anything I'm doing properly.
Interesting. Joining us now via the BetQL guest line is TJ Houshmandzadeh, pro bowler during his time with the Bengals, played 11 seasons in the NFL, 8 of them with Cincinnati. Hello, TJ. How do you do?
What's up, T?
Man, I'm doing well. How y'all doing, fellas?
We good, brother.
Thank you for making time for us, man. Obviously, a big game tonight. But we got to start with kind of the big game you and B played over the summer. TJ, we've been...
That was an ass-kicking, man.
What did you think of Family Feud?
Oh, man, I was... I'm ultra-competitive like many of us athletes are. I just thought it was no way we were going to lose, and we didn't lose. We got destroyed. I was I was very disappointed. I'm like a boxer that just lost. I want a rematch, or I need a do-over, one or the other. But yeah, I was upset, to say the least.
Oh yeah. So we had Dre just focusing on the game and know what happened right in front of him, it'd be okay.
There were some funny moments in that. Obviously, we're talking about when B. Mitch was on Family Feud this summer. TJ was also on the court. I don't know what you call that. The show, certainly. TJ, before we ask you about tonight's game, one more about Family Feud. Were you surprised how quickly B. Mitch lost when it was his turn to hit the buzzer?
That chick's fast, man.
Hey, B. Mitch hand didn't even move. when you go back and watch that,
it didn't move.
Her hand was on the buzzer. B. Mitch, I don't even know if he had a twitch in his hand. She was so fast.
Yes. Hey, fences are quick, man. They got quick hands.
Hey, quick is an understatement.
I mean, that very true. Very, very true. All right, now let's get to tonight's game. Obviously, you played for a long time for the Bengals at a really high level. I mean, you were part of some offenses that really cooked when it was Carson Palmer and
Chad,
certainly. What do you make of this Bengals offense now? Higgins back tonight, Burrow, Chase, obviously. How good is this team?
We don't know, and I believe the Bengals are going to be a really good team. I honestly, they missed T the first two games because, you know, you cloud Jamar and try to take the big play away. Who else is going to be the other threat? Now you do that if you want to, and T is going to single-handedly win the game. But I think they missed Joe Mixon. I really do. Mm. Joe Mixon, you see what he's doing down there in Houston, playing extremely well. But having T back tonight is going to mean a lot for that offense. It just opens up the playbook. It probably gives Joe a little more peace of mind knowing that I can throw that 50-50 ball, and with T it's more 80-20. And so just that peace of mind that Joe will have when he sees T out there is going to be a big deal.
You mentioned Joe Mixon not being there, and in the first game, I looked at them a little bit against New England. I'm like, they don't have a running game at all. Do they have enough of a running game to where, you know, you can begin to utilize the passing game that you have that they're so good at?
I believe so, but let's just be honest, B. Mitch. We played a long time, and the game has changed. It's evolved, mm-hmm. But when you pay Joe what you pay him, when you have a receiver like Jamar and you have a receiver like T, they got to bring it home, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We want to run the ball, but it's not a priority. We got Ferraris on the outside. Let's go race.
There you go.
That's what it should be. And we going to throw the ball to win games. We going to run the ball to close it out. And that's how it needs to be. We don't have to run for 100 yards. We just need to be able to run the ball at the end of the game when we had that lead. And I think that's more important than anything. Offensive, and it really starts up front. You know, we get all the glory, the skill guys. But if you can't block and you can't affect the quarterback on the other side of the ball on defense, you're not winning. So everything starts with the big dudes in the middle, the O-line and the D-line. And so if the O-line is playing the way they need to play, we're going to run the ball very, very well. And if not, it's going to be tough sledding.
It's funny. Every former player you talk to or current player just says the same thing, that mm-hmm. games are completely won and lost in the trenches.
Oh, yeah.
And every television show, analyst, person on social media just talks about skill position guys all the time.
Because all they care about is fantasy football.
It's interesting.
And real football is about the big guys making things happen.
Sure. TJ, I don't know that you've been able to watch much of it, but what do you think of Jaden Daniels so far, if you've been able to check him out?
Oh, I can't believe you asking me this question. Jaden Daniels is my boy.
Okay.
I love that dude. Like, I've been knowing Jaden for a while, man. We kind of grew up in the same area.
You know?
Yeah, same area.
Okay.
And so talked with his mother earlier today in the hotel. I want to see Jaden play well. I do. I want the Bengals to win, obviously. but I want Jaden to play well. I believe Jaden is going to have a hell of a career. just to see his progression from Arizona State, his first year at LSU, then his second year at LSU, winning a Heisman, being the second pick, Jaden is going to turn that organization around. He's that good of a player. I'm pulling for him. He knows that. I want him to play extremely well. I want him to play extremely well tonight. I want a good game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I pull for Jaden. I'll see him in the offseason. He trained on the field that we're at all the time. I seen the hard work that boy put in. And that young man was putting any – he had any free time at LSU. He was flying to California to train. And I noticed that. And so when you see a young man put that type of effort into being a great player, you always want to see the results pay off. You want to see that work pay off.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, damn, bro, you out here again. Yeah, he got a couple days off. He had a couple – no lie. If he had 2 days off, he was flying out to California to train. I appreciate that type of work ethic in him.
And we've seen that since he's gotten here. I mean, they talk about how he's the first person in. He was getting there, what, 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning. He's the last person to leave. He's always doing something to better himself. And I've been around a lot of young football players, quarterbacks also. Nobody has put in that amount of work. And the fact that he does, you know, I just think every time somebody asks me a question, I believe he's going to accomplish whatever he wants to because the fact that he puts the work in.
B. Mitch, we all know this. I mean, and it's not just athletes. It's people that work on M radio, just regular working people. The best workers, the best players, the best doctors, the best whoever, they're the hardest workers. They're not just good because they're good. They're the hardest workers. And so he's putting in the work so that the game hopefully will become easier as he starts to understand the NFL brand of football.
Yeah.
He is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league in a few years because he's doing everything that you just said. He's putting the work in, and when you work hard, 99% of the time, it pays off.
TJ, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this one. We're talking with TJ Houshmandzadeh, Bengals legend. You can follow him on Twitter at Hoosh 84, H-O-U-S-H 84. I mean, you and Chad Johnson, then Ocho Cinco later, were a really dynamic duo. You know, Chad's personality is wild. I saw him down in Miami. I wonder, does he know Jaden through you? Because he came over and dapped up Jaden. What was it like being that close? seems like a wild dude. What's he like?
Chad is cool. Chad don't know Jaden.
Okay.
But Chad don't act like he know Jaden. Chad, that's just who he is. Chad is just he's a friendly dude.
Yeah.
And all these dudes know who Chad is. All these dudes watch Chad on TV. All these dudes at some point in time wanted to meet Chad. So when Chad does those things, he's just making them feel comfortable. Because they probably already want to meet him. What bothers me the most is when we as athletes think we're better than other people. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You see an athlete, and he's just a really, really good athlete, and they're rude to other people. People come up and say hi to him. They can't speak to him. Oh, I'm out with my family. Well, they might not see you again. That's why they're saying something to you now.
Yeah.
And I just never like the athlete that does that. Like, we're put in a position to where people look up to us.
Totally.
Say what's up. Sign an autograph. Take a picture. It's not the end of the world. It's not going to ruin your day. And I think Chad is just being friendly with a lot of these young players because they all know who he is, and they may want to approach him, but they don't know how he's going to react, so he approaches them prior to that. That's just how Chad is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he don't know Jay.
So TJ, what do you think for tonight? What do you think happens?
Man, I'm being honest, man. I ain't going to lie to you now. I'll lie for you before I lie to you. I want Jaden to play well. I want to see a good football game. We got to win this. The Bengals, we got to win this. We have aspirations to be playing in January, late January. And so you can't start 0-3. We've looked like we were turning a corner against the Chiefs, and they called that pass interference, which was PI, but mysteriously didn't call it last night, but I digress. yeah, y'all see how I slid that in there, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I want a good game. I really want to see Jaden perform, but it's different, though. You know, when you look at it, you got a new head coach in Dan Quinn, who I love. Love his energy. You got Kingsbury as the OC, so everybody, including Jaden, is learning a new offense. That's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Getting his eyes used to the speed of the game, that's going to take some time. Normally around games 3, 4, 5, those rookie quarterbacks, you start to see progress. I expect to see that tonight, but I do expect the Bengals to win. But I think Jaden is going to be Jaden. If LSU had a defense last year, they probably won a national championship. That kid can just play. He can run. He can throw. It's not too much that man can't do. They need to get Terry McLaurin involved. He needs to be involved in the offensive game plan. If I'm Kiff Kingsbury, my first 15 plays, 4 of those plays, they're not designed to go to Terry. They're going to him.
Uh-huh.
We're getting him the ball early so that he feels like he's involved. Like, get him the ball early. He'll play with a ton of energy, but I think that's what I would do. Get Scary Terry involved, and let's see if Jaden can cook and win this game for us. But I don't think they will.
All right, Angela sent me this information. You're doing some stuff with Snoop and also the Chargers out there. Can you talk a little bit about the flag football thing you all doing?
Oh, yeah, man. So I started a flag league this past spring in Southern California. And I was, you know, it was through the NFL flag football. And a good friend of mine, who met him when I was playing, he works for the Chargers. So he saw that I was going to start one. So he reached out to me and was like, man, we'll partner with you if you're interested. I was like, yeah, that's even better.
Hell yeah.
And then we have a mutual friend. And so Snoop's manager reached out and was like, man, you know what Snoop was doing in the tackle football? We want to get involved in the flag football if you would like us to be involved. And I'm like, that's even better also.
Yep.
And so we started the Snoop and Hoosh Flag Football League with the Chargers. Going very well. Going very, very well. The Chargers have done a hell of a job, man. We invite the players down to training camp. We'll have some kids out to the games. They'll get on the field pregame, like pregame passes. We'll have player of the week. We'll have student of the week because everybody may not be a good player. So we want to emphasize, like, if you're a good student, we want to invite the families and the kids out. So hopefully this is the first year of many, many years of this league growing. I believe it will because flag football is becoming an Olympic sport, putting more of an emphasis on it. I look forward to seeing the league grow.
All right, man. Well, that's good stuff, man. Keep it going, man.
TJ, this has been great, man. Thank you for joining
us, bro.
Man, y'all keep up the great work, man. This fingers crossed for a great game, baby.
All right, dog.
TJ Hushmanzada.
Thank you,
all
man.
Right, thanks, man. That was a great interview. I really enjoyed that. He wants to see the ball go to Terry. I know a lot of people do. Now, Grant and Danny come up at 2 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere. It's game day, baby.
Yes,
it is. Anything can happen on Monday night.
Burgundy. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Burgundy and Gold Game Day is presented by Rude. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rude and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit Rude.com. And remember, Brian.
If it ain't Rude, it definitely ain't right.
Let's all make predictions, make some bets. I got a feeling we're all going to – I need a prediction on – Bengals, Commanders, and then you can bet on anything you want. Let's do Heard It Here first.
Now holla. Gather around, gather around. It's Heard It Here first.
All righty. I don't think Washington's able to win tonight. I think they will look good. I think this thing's going to be lower scoring than folks are expecting. I'm going 25-18. Commanders cover, and the game goes under.
I'm going to go. Commanders winning the
free.
I got the Commanders +7.5. I'm also calling the win. Commanders 24-21. And for my hurdy here first, take the Commanders plus 7 and the B-Rob touchdown.
Parlay? Parlay City?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. Man. Okay. I know, but I'm just saying, like, when you got a football game, it's normally coming up.
I know. It feels different.
It feels weird.
Landini, what's your prediction?
I'm also feeling a Commanders win. I think it's going to be low scoring, too. I got 23-17.
Do I see Eckler to score as plus 350 for an anytime touchdown? Is that right, Landville?
Possibly.
That's pretty damn juicy.
I was going to say, I might take that in real life.
I'm taking that plus 7.5. Also, Jeffrey.
Welcome to the team, baby.
I am actually going to take Jacksonville tonight. There's a terrible pick.
And I'm going to parlay that Phillies win tonight.
B's going with the Phillies. I'm taking the Jags. The boys are back, baby. Grant and Danny are apparently at a casino in Indiana. Is what I understand.
Yeah, they're in Indiana somewhere.
They're in Indiana.
They flew into
Kentucky
to come to a game in Cincinnati, but they're actually in a casino in Indiana.
Now, here's what I can tell you. I am about 100 yards away from the University of Cincinnati's football stadium. To get here, you fly into Kentucky, which is kind of odd.
It's odd as hell.
Imagine the airport is like Dulles. Is like if you're in downtown DC or downtown Cincinnati, the airport is kind of a Dulles airport vibe. Yeah. Like it's kind of far away. I don't know where the hell Indiana is from here, though. So I look forward to finding out when we get to see Grant and Danny at the game tonight. You get to listen to them coming up in just moments. Thank you to everybody that listened to us today. Thank you to Dave Lapham for joining us. Thank you to Tim McGee for joining us. Thank you to TJ Hushmanzada for joining us. Shout out to Jeff for a fire song, getting everybody fired up for the game tonight. Enjoy Grant and Danny from the Indiana Casino. If you made it this far, B. Mitch owes you a beer.